Welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast with Jacob Ayers, providing actionable content to help you along your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. As the premier asset class, real estate has helped ordinary people just like you amass fortunes. The benefits of passive income from real estate investing will allow you to live a life you want. And now, your host, entrepreneur, real estate investor, and apartment deal syndicator, Jacob Ayers.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, episode 56. Today our guest is Martin Orefice. Martin is a real estate investor who specializes in creative real estate. With over 12 years of experience, he understands the rent-to-own process from every perspective as the buyer, seller, and investor. He started his own real estate investing business in early 2005. Since then, he has successfully completed hundreds of transactions across several states. In 2009, Martin obtained his real estate license. His most recent endeavor was creating renttoownlabs.com, a hub of information regarding rent-to-own and a place where people can connect and find properties. Today, I welcome on the show, Martin. Martin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Really, it's our pleasure. Marty, so can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started investing in real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to preface it, ever since I've been little, as far back as I can remember, I've always been an entrepreneur. So when I was a kid in middle school, I'd have my mom drive me to the convenience stores and buy candy, and I would sell it on the bus. So I'd come home every day with stacks of quarters. I used to make 20 bucks a day just selling candy on the bus. And from there, I jumped into selling football cards and poinsettias and shoveling snow, the standard kid hustle. You know, instead of the lemonade stand, I would mow lawns and do that type of thing. So always been an entrepreneur. And when I was 19, I ended up having 11 full-time employees with painting business.
Wow.
So that got me into this entrepreneurial environment. That's just what I was driven by. And even to the point where in high school, and look, don't hold this against me, Jacob, but this is just a funny story, is I started up a Ponzi scheme.
We got to hear about that.
Yeah. Now, before you judge me and everybody else, it was just a thing. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know what a Ponzi scheme was. But I had heard people talking about this game that they played called Airplane. So it was just the way you did it is you had a plane and people would just pass money up to the pilot, then the co-pilot. It was just standard Ponzi scheme. I had no clue. I convinced half the school to give me money. And then, you know, the principal found out and quickly shut me down, as they should have. So I started there, and, you know, after the painting business, at 19, having that level of responsibility with all those employees, I got burned out. So I said, hey, let me go into the corporate world. And I did it. I landed my dream job. So I get there the first day. I'm sitting in that 2x2 foot cubicle and listening to everyone's conversations over the cube wall, you know, the smell of reheated fish from the microwave that people thought was a good idea to heat back up again. And just absolutely soul sucking with the fluorescent lights above and everything else. And I realized probably the second day that I hadn't landed my dream job. I'd actually landed in hell. And it was just a really sobering situation going, okay, I just spent all this time going through college and got this dream job. And it wasn't at all what I expected. And I've probably heard the saying yourself, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And for me, that came shortly after, where I was sitting in a cube of a neighbor and she had a book on her desk. And I stared down at it and it looked back at me. We made, you know, really intense eye contact. I picked it up. The book was Rich Dad Poor Dad. And yeah, picking up that book completely changed the trajectory of my life. So I felt trapped in the environment that I was in. And the book opened up my eyes and my mind to freedom and that concept that, you know, there's another possibility out there. Now, I didn't know what that possibility looked like. There was no one in my family that had ever done anything like that. However, the book said it was true. So I believed it. And that sent me on this quest for education and things like that. And there was a moment that it feels very visceral even thinking about it today, but I was miserable and my friends used to love to, heckle me about being miserable. And I get a phone call one day and my buddy's like, hey, you in your cube? I was like, yeah, I'm in my cube. He goes, okay, go to this website. So I went to it and it was a webcam. Now at that time it was pretty cool because webcams weren't the norm. We didn't have Facebook Live and all the craziness that we have now. So I go to the webcam and it's pixelated and it starts to come into focus. And there's my buddy standing on the beach barefoot, cocktail in one hand, and he's flicking me off with the other hand. And he just goes, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day in your cube. And at that point, oh my God, I can't even tell you, something inside of me snapped. And I was just like, I am more determined than ever to reach this freedom, you know, that the book talked about. So that's what I did, is I became obsessed with this. And I started reading everything I possibly could. I'd work all day in my corporate job, then go to a coffee shop and work till 9, 10 o'clock at night, working on business plans of businesses that I didn't own, you know, just doing everything I could to move myself forward. And ended up during that time saving up as much money as I could. And I realized that I needed to quit. And that's what I did. Now, not sure if I recommend that to everyone, because there's that sobering moment when you wake up realizing that you have bills to pay and no one is cutting you a check that week.
Right.
You know, that's the toughest part of transitioning from corporate gig to entrepreneurship. But that was something that I was committed to doing. So it took a little bit over a year. I'd saved up as much as I could and I quit and jumped into, at first I was going to jump right into owning a coffee shop, which turned out to be the wrong choice. I just dismissed that. So I said, I'm going to get into real estate and move down to Florida where the market's good. And I am going to dominate the real estate market. So I come down here and you find out, I mean, this is when the market's insane, where, you know, you put the sign in the yard and you got 15 offers. So I was going around looking at houses. I looked at over 100 houses, ran the numbers on all of them, from wholesalers to agents, everything else, and couldn't find a deal that made even remote sense. So I decided to change my tactic a little bit. And in all the books that I read, and, you know, as I started joining the investor groups and things like that, it said, you need to get yourself out there so that people will call you. I was like, okay, I can do that. So I went out and got myself car magnets. And at the time I came up with the name National Home Assist because I thought, okay, I'm a kid in my 20s. I need to sound like this big corporation so people will trust me. Not sure if anyone can relate. So I came up with National.
Yeah, definitely so.
So that's what I did, National Home Assist. So I was like, wow, that's powerful. And my car's in the shop up on a lift and a lady gives me a call. She's like, hey, you know, your car's in here on a lift. It says that you buy houses. I was wondering, do you buy houses all over the nation? Now, at that point, I had looked at 100 houses. I'm beating my head against the wall. I don't know what to do. And I was just so eager to do a deal. I said, yeah, of course I buy houses all over the nation. I'm the nation's best home buyer. You know, so she's like, well, I got a sister in Kentucky and she has a house to sell. I was like, sweet, let's do it. I give her a call and go through the whole thing with negotiating. I have no idea what this house looks like. I just looked it up on public record at the time. And I think it was worth the tax assessed value, believe it or not, was $35,000. It was in rural Kentucky. And I signed a contract and I faxed it over to her and she sent it back to me. And I was like, oh my God, I got my first real estate deal. Now what do I do? Now, I don't know what a mortgage is. I don't know what a title company is. I literally know nothing about real estate except for what this book is telling me. It was a wholesaling book by Ron LeGrand. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So, and it said, okay, call a title company. So I looked it up and I literally just went step by step through this book doing exactly what it said. It said, place an ad in the paper. I mean, this was before Craigslist was huge, but place an ad in the paper. It said handyman special, cheap cash. Anyway, long story short, I look on a map and Kentucky is fairly close to Ohio. Now, if you remember, I told you about that friend that called me from the beach in the Florida Keys flipping me off.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he lived within about an hour and a half drive of that house. So I said to him, hey, can you go down there and make sure the house is still standing and collect the check? I got a buyer for it. And long story short, I wholesaled the house. I made $4,200. I split it with my buddy. I guess that was payment for giving me the motivation to move forward with investing. And then that started me off this journey of real estate investing.
Yeah, that's awesome, Marty. So it sounds like from an early age, you knew you were an entrepreneur. You know, you kind of did what everybody does, go to school, get good grades, get a good education, land that corporate job. And then you kind of found yourself in that corporate job like many people are, unfulfilled, kind of cramped, not really your style and looking for something else. You kind of bounced around some different things, pondering buying a coffee shop, having a painting business, kind of settled on real estate investing. So what was it exactly that drew you to real estate investing? Was it the passive income? Was it the lifestyle of the work? You know, what exactly was appealing to you about it?
For me, initially, it was all about freedom. So coming from a world where I was sitting in this 2x2 box where, you know, every day I had to be there, this concept of freedom, it blew me away. And I had a bunch of friends that were pilots and they were traveling all over the country and the world. And I saw them and I just desired that freedom, whether it was, you know, starting out freedom of time, freedom of once you hit that point where your assets start to provide for your lifestyle, that financial freedom, that's what I was shooting for. That became my obsession.
Yeah, right. That's what what draws a lot of people to real estate investing, and it's certainly one of the benefits to it. So yeah, definitely so.
Absolutely.
Marty, fast forwarding to today, you've got a ton of experience doing all kinds of different deals, but one thing you really have specialty in is rent to own. Could you talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. So when I first started out in real estate, for some reason, the only type of deals that I would do were creative. I bought all these courses where it was like, you know, it wasn't a good deal unless you could get seller financing or you could sell it on lease option because your tax basis would be lower. So for years and years and years, all I did was creative real estate. I was buying on lease option, selling on lease option. And one of the things I would do is after I did that deal in Kentucky, I realized that compare other markets up north were a little bit easier to work in. So what I did is I started recruiting my friends that were in different markets and I started buying houses in Pennsylvania, Ohio. You know, like I said, I did the deal in Kentucky and just started businesses in each one of those cities doing it. And for someone that like me, I didn't have money starting out. So what I would do is I would acquire the houses on lease options and then, you know, do the sandwich lease option technique. Or if I bought them on seller financing, then I would sell them on either terms or on a lease option. So, you know, in doing all those things, what ended up happening was I realized that there was an issue where, you know, once you got a house, there was way too many buyers for that house. So what I thought a way to capitalize on the opportunity would be to create a website where all the investors could put their properties on the site. And, you know, if they didn't like my house, then, you know, the buyer didn't like my house, they can go find someone else's. So that's exactly what I did. And I created a site. First site was US Lease Option and recently launched a new one called Rent to Own Labs. And what we do now that, you know, that site and that business model has evolved and it's evolved into something where, you know, now it's just a connection of you connect the home buyers with the property owners and we're a data service and we collect a monthly fee from people that are, they're going. And that fell into the entire passive business model, right? So the same as real estate, when I was doing that, when I launched the rent to own websites, what I realized was that, you know, that's another source of income as well.
Yeah. And so it sounds like this was almost created out of like a need for something you found when you were looking for these types of properties when utilizing creative financing strategies, right? Almost like couldn't necessarily always find these properties that you were looking for, these types of sellers. So you went out and created it.
Yeah, 100%. So it was driven by the brick and mortar need and, you know, then evolved over time into what it is today, which is, you know, a completely separate entity.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what that is, because it's different than, you know, properties that are sourced off the MLS like Zillow or Trulia or something like that. It sounds these are properties that have been vetted by the owner or the seller that are interested in either doing like a rent own type strategy or financing tactic or something along those lines, right?
Yeah. So on the site, there's a number of different types of properties. One would be rent to own or owner finance. And that's where the owner has said, hey, this is the way I want to sell it. And then along the other lines, there's a bunch of different types of properties where, you know, one of the greatest sources that I found as an investor was for sell by owners. And those would be, you know, like the data you find on Zillow and things like that. But anyone that's selling for sell by owner, especially if they've had the property on the market for a while, is really a lease option can be a great way to help them solve their needs, especially if they have higher financing on the property, higher debt to loan to value.
Yeah, right, right.
So yeah, there's a bunch of different types of properties on the site. And depending on what your needs are, there's even foreclosures. So you can look for deals and things like that.
Yeah, I can see how that'd be a valuable resource and a good tool for investors looking for creative financing strategies out there. So rather than scouring all these different sites like Craigslist, things like that. So
Yeah, absolutely. Which is most of the time, you know, they're scams anyway.
Yeah, you run across a lot of spam on things like that. I look at it quite often and half of it's trash. But yeah, good stuff, Marty. So, you know, you've got a ton of experience with lead generation as well. When you were looking at for all these creative financing type properties, you really had to build a funnel of leads. Could you talk about what that looked like and what your experience with that is?
Absolutely. So as I told you, when I first started, I looked at 100 properties and I was looking for deals and couldn't find any. And so I went to a seminar and they said that you need to find properties that aren't on the market. I was like, okay, cool. What do I do? And they talked about getting people to call you. And the other thing that I did is I went out and door knocked over 500 houses, just knocking on doors of people in foreclosure. And I think anyone starting out, that is one of the best ways you can start out. Now, look, it's not scalable 100%. You're not going to be, I'll get into the online lead gen because that's really been, you know, my bread and butter over the years. But just starting out, just as an aside, number one, when you knock on a door, when I first started doing that, I didn't know really anything about real estate. So every time someone brought up an objection to me, then I would just write it down. And I looked at every single interaction as a chance to learn and grow my knowledge. So if I went out and I talked to 20 different people in a day, then I would have typically 20 different pieces to research.
Yeah, that can be really scary for people too, and trying to approach a seller without knowing everything, or, you know, the uncertainty of that can seem really intimidating and daunting to those types of people.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, the frame that you see it through is one of the most important. And you just look at it as practice and a way to fail forward.
I like failing forward. I like that.
Yeah. And really, if you look at it like that, and trust me, every time I walked up to a house, butterflies, you know, the same type of thing. So I totally get it. And it's just overcoming that by looking at it as it's just practice. There's nothing on the line. All you're doing is looking for data and things that you need to learn and grow your knowledge, you know, those topics that you need to learn. So anyway, that ran its course. And then I was looking at how do I get the phone to ring? Because I realized that driving around all day in the hot Florida sun was not my idea of fun. And I went to, like I said, I was at a seminar, and I would every single weekend, like I said, I was obsessed. So I had seminars every weekend, nights, meetings, things like that. And there was a guy there who had created a national brand, and he said, people just call me all the time with that. So I said, okay, let me see if I can get my website where his was. So I started looking into SEO, and I called up. And for those that don't know what that is, it's just where your site, when someone types in sell my house fast or we buy houses or one of those sayings that people would use to sell their house quickly, you're up in the rankings without, you know, having to pay per click. And I realized that at that time, it was pretty easy SEO. Now it's a little bit more difficult, and ads were fairly cheap at that time. So I started both. And within a short period of time, I was getting probably 30, 40 leads a day. So much so that it was extremely overwhelming for me, and I didn't know how to handle it. So hire a call center to take the calls. And my knowledge at that point was not that great. So I was throwing most of the leads on the floor, which is unfortunate now when I think back about how valuable those leads were. It pains me to think about it, but
it's like almost you were too successful in that facet of your business. Like, you know, gaining too many leads is a pretty good problem to have for some people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you typed in sell my house fast or any other, I was like number one in Google for almost a decade. So it was just wild, you know, the number of leads that were coming in. And the way that I look at it is there's a niche for everyone. For me, I was a little bit more technical. So I was okay on the computer and hiring people from around the world to help with the work and outsourcing and things like that. So I felt really comfortable online. So that's where I focused my efforts. I think if you have a different skill set or whatever else, you know, everyone has to find the right niche. But that one worked really, really well for me in terms of the online lead gen.
Yeah, yeah, great. So, Marty, how have you kind of built your team? And you kind of mentioned that just now by, you know, putting in those systems and processes and places to help your business grow. How have you built your team to what it is today?
Well, I'll just start back in the beginning. I realized as I was buying houses and then fixing them up and selling them, and I wasn't the agent, what I did is I got my license and I teamed up with a younger agent that would, number one, be able to list and sell the properties for me, and two, be able to handle all the buyers that comes from marketing a property that you have for sale. Because there's a lot of money on the table that as investors, we don't think about that we can capitalize on once you have, you get a real estate license and you build a team. So I started out just with that. It was myself and an agent, and they handled all of the agent side of the business. And I handled, you know, all the investor side, bringing the inventory in, fixing it up, and then getting it ready for market. The next step in any team, or really the first step, is hiring a strong admin. And this was one of the most terrifying things that I've ever done, which is like getting that first person on W-2 payroll.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had hired a coach at the time, and it was a real estate coach, but you know, it wasn't teaching me how to call for sale by owners as an agent. He was helping me just build my business. And what he said was, once you get to where you're doing 3 to 4 transactions a month, that can support a full-time assistant. So I was getting to that point. So I did 3 transactions for 3 months in a row. It's like, okay, I need my assistant. And I remember I pulled the trigger on it, and it was one of the most nerve-wracking things that I've ever done. Because now I'm not only responsible for me, I'm responsible for this other person and their family. And what I did is I took a lot of the systems that are in a traditional real estate business, because I came from the investing side where we just looked at realtors as with disgust and disdain. Like, you know, anytime I had to talk to a realtor, it was like, oh, geez, this is awful. And everyone had that elitist attitude. And what I came to find out is that, you know, agents can run a business that sells 2, 5, 750. There's agents that do a couple thousand houses a year. And you can't do that as just a normal gunslinging, bootstrapping entrepreneur. You have to build a business. You have to build systems. You have to build a team that's handling all those moving pieces. And so what I did is I started to model some of those traditional agent teams that were doing higher volume, but applied that towards the investing business. And so, you know, started with an admin and then just built from there, people to look at properties and run. And then obviously all the contractors and everybody else that was involved.
Yeah, Marty, what were some of the systems or processes you had in place that you felt really helped you grow your business?
The first thing is getting, and this is, it's not a, you know, quote unquote system, but it's the most important piece, which is bringing on the right person. Because we always think, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend the time and I'm going to build out all this, all the operations manuals and these processes and procedures. And the reality is you're never going to do that, right? As a real estate entrepreneur, you have a certain personality type, and that is not the type of personality that is going to build those systems. So the number one thing is to hire someone that has that personality type, because you're going to bring them on and their number one job is going to be to build systems and document every process that you have and then implement it. So that's the number one thing. And candidly, we took, are you familiar with the brokerage Keller Williams?
Yes.
So they have, if you're in their brokerage, they have all these operations manuals that you can download. And so we just started. We started there, you know, those are templates. And then we just built it around the investing business, because a closing is a closing. When you get a contract on the acquisition side, there are a certain number of things that need to happen from the time you get the contract to the time you close. And then once you close, you know, there's certain things that need to happen. You know, you need to make sure your utilities are on, your insurance is set, you have all your contractors and your bids and estimates, and you're getting that process started. And then once it goes on the market, you know, that's another trigger point. So you need to get the house staged and you need to do all the things, professional pictures and, you know, to get it on the market. And then once you get a contract for a buyer, you know, there's a whole bunch of systems there. So what we did is we just leveraged the work that they've done building Keller Williams and just applied it to the investing side. And we have an entire operations manual of checklists and all the forms and everything that you would ever need. So it's never, there's never a guess involved. It's always checkbox, checkbox, checkbox.
Yeah. And Marty, what was like your biggest priority with building these systems and processes? Was it to be able to unplug yourself from the business? Was it to be able to scale the business? All of the above? What exactly was it that you were going for?
Yeah. So if you look at the real estate business, 80% of the work is busy work. And it's the type of work that an entrepreneur that's running a business, if they had to do consistently over time, would want to, you know, run their head through a wall. Like it's just, it's not the type of, it's that I dotting T crossing that makes us crazy. So number one, it's to get into high dollar productive activities that don't involve things that make me want to run my car into a tree.
I feel like you're sitting in that 2x2 cubicle.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happens. And a lot of people will start to experience some success and then they just throttle back their marketing or whatever else because they don't want to paint themselves into that corner of doing more and more work. So number one, it was just to get out of the stuff that I didn't like doing and I wasn't good at doing. And that's the other thing is that people think that, you know, they're the only ones that can do it. You bring on the people that are way better than you at that type of thing. And that's when you can really grow. So in investing, you need to be making sure that leads are coming in. That's number one. And two, it's, you know, negotiating and making offers. And that's something that you are going to do. And if you're spending time trying to coordinate an inspection or, you know, just like all the phone calls back and forth, especially, you know, almost a decade, we've been running 10 to 15 rehabs at a time. Just the whole idea of putting on utilities is, you know, because you might have different municipalities that require all different types of documentation or done in person. So you can't scale without it. And without the systems, things tend to fall through the cracks. And that's what you don't want. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're providing a really good product for the end user, the homeowner, and things can fall through the cracks if you don't have systems.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, Marty. Well, Marty, what are your future goals with this business and what are you looking to get out of it?
Well, for me, just as an evolution, I started out with that obsession for financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And I just worked as hard as I could and did everything I could to reach that goal. And I hit that goal. And financial freedom, you know, by definition, if I do the classic rich dad, poor dad, is where your passive income exceeds your monthly expenses, right? So if you didn't want to come into work that day, you can do that. And that was awesome. And it was really good for a little while. And then life slapped me in the face. I ended up getting divorced and the financial freedom goes away. And at the end of the day, I did not have the drive to just continue that same process. Because what I found is that, you know, if you're just doing it for money, it was very hollow. And when I was listening to podcasts and things like this as a younger man, I heard that and I would just be like, whatever, you know, you're full of crap. But the reality is, like, I didn't.
Says the guy with financial freedom, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay. So I realized that that wasn't getting me out of bed in the morning. And so I needed to tap into a bigger purpose, a bigger why. And doing that, my goals have shifted with real estate. So the asset base that I've built has allowed me to do things and allows me to do things now that I never could have done if I didn't get into that business. And I'm extremely grateful for it. So in terms of real estate goals right now, you know, continue building the rental portfolio, continue to do buy, fix, and sells and wholesales as they come across my plate. And at the same time, outside of real estate, is continuing to build purpose-driven business. Right now, started a nutrition and supplement company to help parents of kids with autism help heal their kids, doing that through nutrition and supplementation, education, things like that. That's my passion. That's what gets me up at 4:30 every morning to attack the day. Whereas waking up right now to go meet with a seller, make an offer, or go meet a contractor doesn't have that same thing. So I look at real estate as a tool that has been, like, by far the most amazing business and thing that's ever happened to me that is now allowing me to make a real difference in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome, Marty. And that's what it's all about. We talk a lot about that on this show. And that is, you know, real estate investing is just a vehicle to help you live a life you want, whatever that looks like. It's different for everybody. But being able to pursue your passions, chase your dreams, and kind of like follow your purpose in this life is what you should be doing. And real estate investing is the best way I know that can enable a lot of people to do that. So great, great stuff.
Absolutely. It's amazing that you can do one deal. You can make more than you could an entire year sitting in a cubicle just with one deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a couple of those a year and trust me, that funds whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what's been really cool about this whole process.
Yeah. Awesome, Marty. Good stuff. Well, Marty, as we're wrapping up here, we got a lightning round. It's just a series of questions that we'd like to fire at you and you just answer from the hip. How does that sound?
All right, let's do it.
All right. The first question is, what was your biggest hurdle getting invested in real estate and how did you overcome it?
Biggest hurdle, number one, was I didn't know a thing about real estate. I didn't know what a mortgage was. I didn't know anything. And two, I had zero money.
No knowledge, no money. That sounds like a tough spot to be in.
No knowledge, no money. So how I overcame it is I studied my ass off. I took odd jobs painting houses. selling mattresses, whatever I could, because I figured if I sold some, like if I was in a sales position, then I could learn sales. If I was doing any type of manual labor, then I could learn a little bit more on the construction side of houses, which I knew nothing about. And while I'm doing it, I could listen to audio courses, inspirational stuff, Tony Robbins, you know, all the old real estate gurus and everything else, Ron McGrand, Carlton Sheets. So that's how I overcame it, is 100% commitment to what it was, which was just learning everything I needed to. And on the financial side, how I did it was wholesaling, using creative real estate, and then eventually partnering. So I just found people that had money. And when I got good at the acquisition side, which is the lead gen and the offer structuring and getting the offers accepted, then once you have that, then you control the entire playing field. So if you're out there and you're wondering what the first step to take is, by far, it's master lead gen and acquisition, making those offers and getting them accepted. If you can do that, then all you got to do is go to anyone at an investor meeting and say, hey, I got this deal. Would you fund it? Yep. And you're good to go.
Yeah. Good point. Right. All right, Marty, do you have a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Yeah, I have. My entire life is built around what I feel to be success habits. So every day I take the four areas of my life, being spirituality, balance, which is relationships with my son, family, significant other, the business, sales and marketing, things like that, and body being balanced business. Every day I do daily disciplines to feed growth in each one of those areas. So it's getting up and it's reading spiritual texts and journaling on the spiritual side. On business, it's learning and then either teaching or implementing what I learned. On the body side, it's making sure that my body is a weapon that supports me. So I do all different types of stuff with body, CrossFit, yoga. I've done, you know, ultra marathon type stuff. Whatever it is, I feed that every day. And balance, it's, you know, doing one-way deposits into relationships that matter. So every morning, that is the habit, that's the routine. And what happens is over time, those efforts compound and your life and who you are today is radically different. Looking back 6 months ago, a year ago, don't even get me started on 3 years ago. It's like insane the amount of growth and what you can accomplish there. And that's a methodology I learned going through a program called Wake Up Warrior. If anyone is interested, take a look at it. It's really powerful.
Yeah. So those four topics that you just mentioned, they were spirituality, body, balance. And what was the fourth one?
Body being balanced business.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And those are taken, you know, those, the way it's worded and everything is from Wake Up Warrior, and really, really powerful program.
Awesome. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah. So that's my success habit, is just, you just do the little things every day that may not, if you miss it, it's not going to feel like a big deal. But if you miss it over the course of 6 months or a year, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So
like if you study real estate marketing every day, even for 15 minutes for a year, who you are at the end of that, completely different person, dominate your market.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. I completely agree. I've got a morning routine that I've been doing for a couple of years now. And like you said, you just see dramatic results from doing little bitty things every single day. They compound, they add up, and it's made a difference in my life.
Absolutely. It can't not make a difference. It's just, it's that powerful.
Yeah. Good. All right, Marty. Next question is, do you have an online resource that you find valuable?
Ooh, online resource, like a software or something?
Yeah,
like
it could
that?
Be a website. It could be a place you go every day, check something out. I mean, you know, anything like a bigger pockets, a Facebook, any kind of like online tool, calculator. Maybe it's your website. Yeah, I don't know what it might be.
Okay, one tool. I mean, I use a ton of different tools. I'll just give you two quick tools that I use to run my business. Because right now I have a team of, my core team is six, and they're spread around the country, except we have, you know, a few people in Orlando. So we use a tool called Slack, which allows you to instant message. It eliminates a lot of need for email, which is really helpful. So Slack is really big if you have a team. And then Trello as a project management tool is really, really helpful. And it's a visual project management tool that you can set up. Let's say you have, you know, different categories of, you know, what you're doing, if you're rehabbing or wholesaling, and it's just a process flow that can be set up and integrated with a ton of different softwares. Really, really powerful.
Yeah, I have a little bit of experience with Trello and I really like it. And I've heard a lot of people use Slack and have good things to say about it. So we'll link those in the show notes for the listeners if they want to check those out.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Marty, next question is, what book would you recommend to the listeners and why?
Oh, this one is, I'm excited about this one. It's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And I just read this one, I would say about 3.5 months ago, and it completely changed like how I interact with the world on a daily basis. So the entire premise of the book is based on how we're raised and the messages that we were taught as kids, we're going to approach the world one of two ways. And one way is a growth mindset and one's a fixed mindset. And I didn't realize this, but you know, I was told I was smart as a kid and all this stuff. And what that did is that it made me play games that I knew I could win, because my entire self-worth and ego was all wrapped up in this, you know, being successful.
Yeah, right.
So, but the only way that we can accomplish big things, make an impact on the world, and do the things that, you know, we see these big entrepreneurs doing is put ourselves out there in a way that, you know, it's, we're going to suck at first. You know, the first time you do a Facebook Live or a podcast or whatever, you are like, you're going to suck, and that's okay, and be okay with it. And then just use it to step forward. Every time you just improve a little bit more. But I would never put myself in positions to get feedback or anything else. And so that one is, you know, it's one that I make everyone on the team, you know, make sure that they read and everything else, just because of how powerful I've seen the change after reading it and becoming aware of those things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can speak to those in so many facets, but it's like we were talking about earlier in the show when you're mentioning you're going to do something and know you're going to fail at it or be terrible. Going up to that first door, knocking on it, you know, cold calling whoever, putting your first podcast out there, you're going to be terrible. You're going to fall. You're going to fail, but just keep going. And yeah, I like that concept and I like that motivation behind there.
Yeah. And if you look at any, you know, really successful achievers, they're willing to do that. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with Tim Ferriss. If you go back and listen to his first podcast ever, he was drunk off his ass. I'm not kidding. Like with his buddy, and he was slurring his words, and it was just really comical. But it, you know, from a podcast standpoint, to where he's interviewing, you know, Richard Branson and Arnold Schwarzenegger, like all these big celebrities, he's come a long way. And the only reason that he was able to do that is because he put himself out there first and be willing to fail and take feedback as a gift to get better, a gift to make those incremental improvements.
Yeah, right. Yeah, very good points.
As opposed to just saying that podcast sucks, so I suck.
Yeah.
which is what I used to do.
yeah, definitely. Well, that's a Mindset by Carol Dweck. We'll link that book in the show notes for our audience to find if they want to pick it up and give it a read.
Yeah, I would say that's a must.
All right, good. Marty, next question. If you were to give advice to your 20-year-old self to get started investing in real estate, what would it be?
Just do it.
I like it.
Just do it. You know, have that commitment, because the reward at the end of the day, no matter how dark things can seem at certain times, it is well worth it. You know, and I've had multiple situations where partners, you know, steal money and, it, you know, just like whatever crazy things that you can happen have happened. I mean, dealing with, you know, properties, sinkholes, all that stuff. And all of it are just, you know, like I said, all those adversities are gifts to help you continue to grow. But the business of real estate is one that you just need to do, you know, just go for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Marty. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Marty, well, as we're wrapping up here, where can our audience find more about you, contact you if they have any questions? Where can they look you up at?
All right. Well, if anyone has any questions, you can send me an email at marty@renttoownlabs.com. Okay. You can also check me out on Facebook at martinorofice.com. That links to my Facebook. You can reach me at martyorofice.com. That links to my Facebook.
Great, Marty. Well, if our audience has any questions, we'll have that contact information in the show notes for them to reach out to you. And we certainly thank you for coming on the show today, Marty. It's been great. Couldn't thank you enough.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
All right, Marty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That wraps up our episode today with Martin Orofice. During the interview, I forgot to ask Martin some of his best and worst deals. So we had that conversation after the episode ended. If you'd like to get that clip, go to www.jacobayers.com, scroll to the bottom, and subscribe, and I'll email you the extended interview. As always, if you have any questions or comments or want to hear something or someone specific on the show, reach out to me. You can contact me at www.jacobayers.com/contact or connect with me on Facebook at The Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom. Till next week, signing off, I'm your host, Jacob Ayers.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, providing you actionable content to build your real estate empire. Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for personal advice. The opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have a potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom, LLC, exclusively.